Once again, good morning to all of you. I think if you realize for the past few weeks, we have been looking at walking in step with the Holy Spirit, right? I think we also realize it's not easy, right? It's easy to, in terms of hearing sermons about, you know, we are called to walk according to the steps of the Holy Spirit. But then at the same time, I think we also were aware when Paul writes to the church in Galatia in chapter 5, he talks about the struggle. I think each of us have struggles, right? We struggle because there's two kinds of voices that we hear, right? There's the voice of the flesh. We want to walk according to the patterns of this world. At the same time, because of our religious belief, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we want to walk by the voice of the Holy Spirit. So there's a constant struggle that happens in our life. And so Paul is writing to the church by reminding them, you know, of their call. And Paul says, you know, you are called to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the Spirit of God in us. When we believed, when we got saved, the Spirit of God is dwelling in our lives. But whether we want to ask the Spirit of God to lead us, that is important, right? When you accept Jesus, the Lord is in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. But whether I want to use Him in our lives. And so Paul reminds the church. At the same note, Paul is also encouraging, like, you know, we need to be bearing fruits or fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit of God is dwelling in my life, I will bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit if you look at Galatians chapter 5. Right, it's the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you will continue to see all these things, and that's what Paul is writing in this particular passage. And so he says, you know, this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and he continues, right? And so Paul says, you know, you need to bear this particular fruit if the Spirit of God is in you today. And so for the rest of the weeks, you know, I will be just focusing on the fruit of the Spirit because, you know, the more I see the fruit of the Spirit, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I see love in Him. I see the joy in Him. I see the peace in His life. I see kindness. I see goodness. I see gentleness. And so when the Spirit of God is in us, when we allow our lives to be in line to God's Word and to His leading, we begin to be like Christ, and we are on the path of discipleship too. And so the next few weeks, we will just continue looking at it. And today, I thought we will just focus on the word love. Right? It's a huge word altogether. So I'll just look today about loving God, and next week we will look at how do I love people around me? Right? Paul always encourages, the Bible always encourages, and Jesus is always seen loving the sinners, the publicans, the tax collectors. He was always reaching out to people. So today, we will just focus, you know, how can I know, you know, that I'm loving God? I believe all of us are reading our scriptures. We pray, right? We come to church regularly because you're here today. And so we try to show our love by being involved in so many things. But what would real love for God look like? That is important for us. It's not just doing alone. Doing is wonderful, right? It's interesting and it's expected from us. But what does love for Jesus really look like? If I love Jesus, how would it look like? Is it because I carry my scripture to the church? Is it because of my involvement in the ministry? How would it look like? Let's spend some time in prayer and then we will look at God's word. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because your Spirit is here with us today. We want to be like you, O Lord. We want to have the image of God in us. We want to allow the Spirit of Jesus to live in our lives, to be active in our lives, Father. Help us to be people like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a world when the more I read books or even the songs that we tend to hear today, we live in a very music culture. If you realize, many of the songs or numerous songs contains the word love, right? There's always some kind of love, not only now, right? any old songs, you realize, you know, people are always searching for love. I remember when I was just interviewed by Fairchild, one of the questions that was, was posed to me was, why do people need God? Why do people need God? Right? And when I was just talking to the reporter, I was telling, it's very interesting because there have been a lot of studies that have been done. And one of the things that comes very close is by saying people want to be loved, at the same time they also want to love others. Right? There's always a human tendency. We want to be loved, we want to be embraced, we want to be accepted. Right? We want someone to love us, someone to be much more closer to us, someone who will be able to know what's happening in our lives. At the same time, we also want to be people who want to reach out to others. And that's why we realize, people want to be involved in so many things, because that's what we want to live for. And that's what the scriptures also tell us. There's always, love, that's all the scripture speaks to us. In today's passage, it's an interesting passage in Luke chapter 7. It talks about a lady, right, a woman, and before that, Jesus is invited to a house of a Pharisee. Can you imagine Jesus going to a house of a Pharisee, right? You don't want to go to their particular house because they were, they were seen as, people who were a bit more arrogant in terms of their beliefs and all that. Pharisees, right, means separatists. In other words, they tried to live a life totally different from the society, right? The further they live away from the society in terms of practices, they're seen more holy. So Jesus goes into the house of the Pharisee. So he tells me about Jesus. He loves the sinners. He loves the publicans. At the same time, I think his love for the Pharisees is also there, right? He goes into this particular house. He reclines. That's the way people sit in those days. They recline, because when you recline, food is served and your feet has been washed. I remember going to Cambodia. I had a wonderful time in terms of having dinner, because they brought me to a place and I did not know how to eat the food. You know why? Because they gave me a hammock to lie down and to eat my food. I do not know how to eat my food in hammock. And that was the way they, were treated in Cambodia. I struggled to eat, but I got down from the hammock, I ate and went back, because you are supposed to be just lying down and enjoying the cool breeze and eating. And so Jesus was invited. Probably this man was a very rich man. He invited Jesus. And Jesus was was just reclining, and he was there. I think all of us are aware this woman comes. She's known as a sinner, right? Can you imagine? She's branded as a sinner. She's recognized as a sinner, right? Someone like an outcast. You're not welcome here. You are a sinner. You are a nobody. Right? You're not welcome. Your sins are many. And people knew her very well. The people who were in the house, right, the Pharisees and others who were there, they, when they saw her, they knew she is a sinner. She's a recognized sinner, and everyone knows her. In other words, she's not allowed to come into this place. But very interestingly, she comes. She comes. And then I think she's full of tears. She's just wiping the feet of Jesus, right, with the tears. And then she's anointing him with the perfume. And then she's just kissing his legs. Can you imagine? Right? The Pharisees, and particularly Simon, was thinking, how can this happen? If he's a prophet, he will not allow that. Can you imagine? He's inviting Jesus to the house, and he also has a question about Jesus. If he's really a prophet, right? He still has some kind of question mark about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus tells him of a parable about a man having who owned 500, another one 50, and so about forgiveness and all that. And finally, Jesus tells, this lady, sins are many, but God has forgiven. Right? And so he tells her, go in peace. I think all of us are very familiar with this particular passage. But when I look at this particular passage, I see someone loving Jesus. I see someone who is showing this is what really love for God is. This is what real love for the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed or manifested. Firstly, when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, you realize, I think, she comes to the house because she's been forgiven much. And that's why Jesus uses the word, right? She had many, her many sins have been forgiven. She had been forgiven much. In other words, she comes, and the word in the Greek text, it's a very interesting word. It is not that she's forgiven now, right? In the Greek text, it means that she was already forgiven in the past. So some scholars say the reason for this word is because during the ministry of Jesus Christ, she have heard about Jesus, heard his word, and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was forgiven at that point of time. And so she comes to the house not to seek forgiveness, not to ask for mercy, but to show her devotion, her love, and a submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this lady comes to the house because she has been forgiven much. I think that's real love for the Lord Jesus Christ look like. She realizes, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm recognized. Can you imagine? I'm still recognized by the society as a sinner, but Jesus has forgiven me. And I'm here to show my love and affection and my devotion to him. And I've been forgiven. And I've been forgiven much by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of the ways you see it, she's just pouring oil into on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in those days, what was happening, I was just looking at the word, you know, when she uses the word in the Greek, it means, you know, there were certain words that was used. You can use the word by rubbing. She was not rubbing, but she was pouring the word, pouring the oil. In those days, they used only olive oil. But she was using an expensive alabaster oil. Very expensive, right? In other words, she was saying, Lord, I thank you. It's all because of your forgiveness. I do not know how the world sees me. I'm still seen as a sinner. I'm not accepted by the world, but I am forgiven by you. My sins are many, but you have forgiven me. And that's what she's trying to communicate here, my friend. And so when I look at the passage very carefully, it tells me that she's a person who really loves Jesus will realize, you know, I'm not worthy to experience God's love, but God is so loving that he has forgiven me. But if we look at Simon, what was happening? Simon does not recognize this. He doesn't realize his sin. That's why we realize he's not just pouring any oil on the Lord Jesus Christ. He just invited, he felt, you know, Jesus should be happy because I've invited him to my house, right? I'm worthy. But he did not even do anything that was expected, some basic things that was expected from him. He just invites Jesus and Jesus comes to the house. I think that's the difference between Simon and this particular lady. He feels, you know, I'm worthy to be found in God's presence. You know, there's nothing wrong in me. I'm perfect. Everyone does mistakes, right? Everyone is not perfect. Everyone has some kind of sins in my life. Yes, I have my sins in my life. It's okay. It's fine. Show me a saint. There is no saints in this world. I'm like every one of them. That's the attitude of Simon. But whereas this lady is totally different, right? She realizes, you know, Jesus is the only one who can forgive my sin. My sins will never bring me to the presence of God. I cannot experience God's love without his forgiveness. So a person who loves Jesus always realizes that he or she is forgiven, and he or she is forgiven much, my friend. Have you ever considered how sinful you are? Have you ever considered saying, you know, am I worthy to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Many a times we don't talk about our sins because we realize, we think that, you know, we are not sinners. We're not perfect people. We do the same thing other people do. So not much of a forgiveness is needed, my friend. But she felt she needed. And that's love. Love shows that, you know, she's saying, you know, I'm forgiven. And it's only Jesus who has forgiven me for my sin. How are we today, my friend? How do we see God's forgiveness in our life? Are we worthy to be forgiven? But God has shown his love for us. Secondly, when you look at this lady, what is happening, right? She expresses her love openly. Not only people who love God will see that, you know, without Jesus, I cannot be forgiven, right? She expresses her love openly. You know, for a moment I was trying to put myself into this woman's shoes and, you know, trying to imagine. She could have said, you know, Jesus has forgiven me, right? It's all in the heart. I'm okay now, right? And so that's fine. She could have said like that, and she could have said, you know, why should I go to this house of the Pharisee? This man doesn't accept sinners, right? Why should I? Jesus has forgiven me. I got nothing to do with this man. Or she could have said, right? And sometimes we struggle with this in terms of self-image, right? Why should I put myself in such a situation where people talk bad about me? But she says, no, no, no. Whatever it is, you know, I want to show my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. People who love God. And this is how love for God looks like, my friend. We will express God's love openly. Right? She could have said, no, Jesus sees my heart, that's fine. Right? Because heart is important. Yes, I'm not denying that. That is important. But she wants to show her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what she does, I think all of us know, she washes the feet of the Lord by her tears. Right? She kisses him and she anoints him. And can you imagine? She's doing, you know, and in front of these Pharisees, even when she's doing, they are looking at her and saying, you know, this lady is a sinner. She's not worthy even to come here, you know. But she feels, no, whatever it is, I want to show my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might think low of me. You might think I'm the worst, but I still love Jesus and I want to show my love for Jesus. You know, I feel sometimes she was actually struggling inside, right? She was struggling about sin and love. Right? Sometimes we feel, you know, am I worthy to do this? Sometimes in our life we know we are forgiven. At the same time, we also are struggling. The sin and the love is a constant struggle in our lives. But she says, no, I am forgiven. And so love covers everything. Love conquers everything. And she comes and she expresses her love openly. Dear friends, I think love for God, right? People who love God, they will express God's love openly. Right? She's able to show, my religion is not going to be a private religion. Right? I want to show God's love. Whatever the society might think of me, whatever my friends will think of me, they might call me the Holy Joe, but whatever it is, I want to show God's love. They might even question my self-image, but I'll still show God's love. If you read the book, a very classic book by Thomas A. Kempis, he writes the book by Imitation of Christ. He says, people, it is classic book, he says, people who's forgiven much, no, who loves much, does much. Who loves much, does much. They will do more because they love Jesus. And this is what she's doing, my friend. She wants to be there. She wants to be found at the presence of God. Thirdly, when I look at it, you know, how does love for God look like from this particular passage? No, she is saved by faith. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I was looking at the word very carefully. Yes, all of us have faith, right? We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ. But the way Jesus is using the word, it's very interestingly, you know, it the way it is used here, it means that she has faith, saying that it's only my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ going to save me. Right? It's not just my faith. I have faith that this God, that this Jesus is the only one who's able to save me. And that's kind of faith. And that's what Jesus is trying to use the word by saying, you believe in me. You believe that I can save you. I can cleanse you. I can give you salvation. I can give you a new life. And because of that, you're saved by faith. And so people who love God, they know it's not just trusting Jesus, but whether trusting Jesus, whether you know that Jesus is the only one who's able to help you, my friend, who's able to save you from the clutches of sin, from going into life which is thrown into the lake of fire. I think, where else, if you look at Simon, he invites Jesus. He invites him. And he brings Jesus into the house. And he thinks that, by inviting Christ, I can win the favor of God. By doing this, I can have the favor of God in my life. By doing this and that, I can win God's favor. And that I will have a place in heaven. But Jesus uses the word, she has faith, not just only in me, but what I can do for her. And so that's how faith, that's how love for Jesus looks like. I have faith in this God who can save me, who can redeem me, who's there for me. And lastly, if you realize, the last word Jesus uses to her, and people who love God, they will always live in peace. Right? Can you imagine? Look at the house for a while, Simon's house. The friends all talking within themselves. Right? The noise level is increasing. They're questioning, who is this man who's able to forgive sin? Right? I see a lot of unhappiness in this particular house. They're looking at one another, they're questioning, they are trying. There is no peace in their life. Right? Pharisees, they knew the scriptures very well, but they are struggling. There is no joy, they are questioning. But whereas this sinner, this lady, she's at peace. And that's why Jesus says, right, go in peace. Whereas there was no peace in the self-righteous people, the Pharisees, or even the scribes. But where else she has the peace. And they live in peace because she knows, I am forgiven. I know it's Jesus is the only one who's able to save me. Just not having faith in Jesus Christ, but having faith in what he can do in my life. And nothing can stop me from showing that love. And I want to express it. That was the practice of the early church. Can you imagine the early church, where they were not quiet people? They were aggressive people. They showed God's love. And that's why they were always seen as people who are turning the world upside down. They did things were radical because nothing, that's why Paul says, you cannot stop me from preaching God's word. I'll preach. We will do God's word. Dear friends, I think, how's our faith today for God? Do you realize, how unworthy we are? Do you realize how much God has actually forgiven us? Loving God does not simply mean just reading scriptures. Yes, it's wonderful. Yes, we need to be found reading. But these are the fundamentals. I think, do you realize, how much you have been forgiven? That we are living a life of gratitude because of the forgiveness of sin. Person who loves God, they will show God's love openly. Right? I will express it. Nothing can stop me from showing God's love to. And people who love God know it's not my deeds, it's my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, having faith, he's the only one who's able to do this in my life. And they are the ones who live in peace. How are we today? Are we like the Simon and, you know, still questioning and still struggling? There's no peace. Or can we say, you know, I have the joy of the Lord in my life. Let's pray. I see two kinds of people in the story. Simon, a self-righteous man who knew the scriptures very well. Can you imagine he was bold enough to invite Jesus to the house? I do not know his intentions, but he invited Jesus to the house. He thought everything is good in his sight. He's a good man, he thought. By just inviting Jesus, I'm good. By having meal with Jesus, I'm good. What does love for Jesus look like? Nothing can stop her because she knew how much she had received forgiveness. Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner today, my friend? Sometimes we tell ourselves, you know, I'm like any other person, right? I'm not perfect. I'm like any other normal person who does all these mistakes or even sins. This lady could have easily said like that. But she realized, it's only Jesus can forgive me. Nothing. And so because of the forgiveness I receive from Christ, my love for Christ will never change. We live in a world that we talk about private Christian life. But she wanted to show her love openly. And like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Nothing can stop me from not only loving God, but also showing his love openly. I believe she was struggling inside. Should I go? Should I not? This world doesn't recognize me, but Jesus loves me. She had faith in Lord Jesus Christ, and that is real love for God. Not just having faith, not having just trust, but trusting it's only Jesus is the only one who's able to save me. Nothing else. Do we have peace, my friends, today? Are you living a peaceful life today? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because your word is so powerful. And we thank you, Lord, because Jesus is powerful. Lord, we pray, God, even in our Christian walk, oh God, we want to love you. We want to love you, Lord, because of what you have done on the cross for us. Nothing can save us. It's only the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray that we want to show our love for you, Father. We want to continue to have the faith and help us, Lord, not to be turning away from our faith, but having faith and faith in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the peace that comes from loving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.